Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal,
by his room, he's the children.
Come
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our lab guides our listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. And this particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. So with that, I can bring to you tonight's host of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Ashadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa nasharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Salah-Uddin of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, on the first Wednesday, she's always absent. But never fear, because Rashid Salam is here, and he'll be sitting in as our special guest facilitator tonight on tonight's Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So Rashid and I would like to welcome all of you, and especially those who are tuning in for the first time. We want you to be welcome to ask a question or make a comment on anything that Rashid or myself will say tonight on tonight's topic, or it could be on previous Learning Labs that you have a question regarding parenting and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. These topics are designed to address the reconstruction of the family life. And to do that, all you have to do is press 1. And that's for those who have dialed into the studio. We're aware of the fact that there are many of you who tune in and listen by way of the Internet. For you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. And so please, at this point, make sure you get your pen and pad. And you always need that, you know, for the Learning Lab. Of course, bring a free, open mind, open heart. But bring your pen and pad. There will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight, and you might want to take note. So those listening by way of the Internet, you have to dial 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And that would put you right into IWDM Blog Talk Radio. And all you have to do is press 1. And Rashid Salam, who's doubling as the engineer and also as our special guest facilitator tonight, will alert me that you got your hand up and will come to you so you can ask your question or make your comment. And at some point, we're going to do our little mini survey to see that what we have given tonight actually resonated with you. And we ask that you be a participant and press 1 just to give us some feedback on tonight's production. We want you to know that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab has a foundation, and there's three sources that we use. First source is Al-Quran, which is the final revelation to all of humanity. The second source is a life example and a demonstration of the Quran by Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means the prayers and peace be upon him. It's a second source in demonstrating the Quran in his lifetime. And the third source is the tafsir of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. Tafsir simply means clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Muhammad, on the Quran and also the life example of the Prophet. These are the three sources, not resources, but sources that we use as a foundation for this learning lab, as well as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We also want you to know that we have established some staples here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, starting with parenting. We've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting simply is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents, and want to dismiss the misnomer. It's not just the role and responsibility of the mother, but it's also the responsibility and the role of the father in that process. And also, we want it to be known that another staple is the role and responsibility of our parents is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities. Very important, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means God willing, the Lord willing, that having that conscious regard for this in terms of our role and responsibility in relationship to our children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking in terms of parenting. Very important. Also, we have established here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that Almighty God, Allah, is the first teacher for all of his human creation. And he is given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, which means that she would be the first one to be the one to give the foundational information and knowledge, moral teaching, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And so, you know, with that, we'll end there. And generally speaking, we'll have an overview. But the week that Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean is absent, we bypass that, and you just have to go into the archives to retrieve. And, of course, Rashid Salam is here. He can tell you how that you can do that a little bit later, and you can retrieve the whole production last week. So we want to get right into tonight's topic. In terms of what it is that we're going to be looking at, chapter 13, from the textbook that we're using as a resource, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Applications for Various Ages. It's an outstanding production that's done by Dr. Muhammad and Ikram Bashir. Excellent authors and all in terms of supplying some excellent, excellent information. And so tonight, a nice topic is follow-up orders, which I don't like that word orders, but instructions with consistency, follow-up instructions with consistency. And this topic, I think, is a very timely topic, you know, Rashid. I mean, looking at following up instructions with consistency, because all throughout our parenting life, we are instructing our children in one way or another, given the various age or stages they are in life, but instructing them with consistency. And, you know, I just want to say this in terms of just looking at the Quran, just in general, the Quran is a book of instructions for the construction of human life. This is very important. You know, as we talk about parenting and family reconstruction, when you look at re as being a prefix in front of any word, it means that something has to be done over. If you have to repeat something, mean you have to do it over. You have to regain your championship, meaning that you may have had it before, but now you have to try to go back and get it again. It means to do over, to come again, to actually repeat something. So when we look at reconstruction, meaning that it actually infers that there have been a destruction to the family life in terms of the functionality. So when something has been destructed, then we don't see the functionality, we see the dysfunctionality. And one of the things that we have said and used here on this learning lab, and you might want to take this down, is how we teach and how we learn. How we teach and how we learn is exactly the same. We use the word idea. An idea actually stands, the I stands for instructions. The D stands for demonstrations. The E stands for experience. And the A stands for assessment. And it's the assessment of those experiences. So when you think about this, you know, if we are Muslims, if we, you know, believe in this way of life or al-Islam, or even if you're a Christian, this is a good acronym for you to use in terms of how it is that we teach our children. We teach our children by instructions. So the best instructions that we can actually give to our children should be from the base in terms of our belief, whether that is one of Islam or Christianity or Judaism or whatever that belief actually is. The instructions should be revelation that's coming from Almighty God. And then there should be a demonstration. It should not be just telling, but it also should be showing. So it's show and tell. So demonstrations for us is the life example of the prophet in that regard. And we should provide experiences for our children to teach them, and then there should be a questioning in terms of the assessment of what it is that they just have experienced. This is the best way to teach, and this is the best way for our children to actually learn. So following up instructions with consistency. And so one of the ayats we want to use for you to look up on your own is in Surah Taha. Surah Taha is surah or surah being chapter for those who don't speak any Arabic. It'd be chapter, and the ayat or the verse would be 132, where Allah says there, He says to invite those to prayer consistently, to invite to prayer consistently. So this is an instruction. This is an ayat in the Quran 132, where Allah is instructing us to invite those to prayer. So most certainly in terms of the role of being a parent, you want to invite our children to prayer. You know, Rashid, you know, when you invite your children to prayer, one of the best ways to do that, if we're following that acronym, you know, you're instructing them, you're getting your instructions from the Quran, the best way to do that is not only just to say to them, why don't you come and pray with me so that they can learn how to make the prayer, but if they see you making a prayer, oftentimes, you know, Rashid, you know, our children are great imitators, and they actually will imitate us. So with that being said, Rashid, I want to bring you in on this conversation because we should follow up instructions with consistency, and we do know that the Salat is about as consistent as it can get as far as in the Muslim life. Rashid, welcome.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, sir. Waalaikum Assalam. Thank you so much. What a great topic. You know, and as you were talking about instruction, the first thing that came to my mind when you said with consistency, this is how we develop discipline, you know, and by doing that discipline, it puts us back in the pattern of how things are supposed to be. So instructing by, you know, a lot of our children learn by sight and not by what you say. They're going to watch what you do. And so if they see you consistently praying, and then when you do invite them, the inquisitiveness is there. You know, they're going to ask you, what is the purpose of this? Why are we doing this? And it was a great opportunity for you to have a parenting moment where you can teach something, just like being in the learning lab tonight. We're here for that particular reason. When you talk about reconstructing, I love that word when you break down what that re means. Something has been destroyed. You know, something has been destroyed. So in order to put it back together again, once again, we talk about that pattern. We're taking the discipline, the time out to be consistent about something so that pattern can be revisited in our life. We get back to our future base and begin to share and demonstrate a lot better in what we're trying to accomplish. So what a great subject tonight. It really is. And I'm looking forward to participation from the audience on the parenting and family reconstruction learning map.
Alhamdulillah. No, alhamdulillah, and praise, that means the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And excellent commentary there that you just gave, and I think the operative word there is discipline. You know, as a wordologist, you mentioned the word discipline. I want to give a gold nugget at this time for the word discipline. As you know, I like to look at words and like to break them down letter by letter to actually bring some life to it. So if we write the word discipline, now if you can use this, fine. And then you can put it in your wallet or your back pocket or your purse or what. But discipline, it definitely influences successful changes, improves people's lives in new endeavors. So I'm going to say that again. So with discipline is very needed and necessary. It definitely, that's the D, influences successful changes. Okay, so, you know, when we are given instructions, you know, oftentimes our children, they can and will be influenced, you know, by the environment that they live in. And it's not only the home environment, but it could be the school environment. You know, and you know that's something as a parent that you did not teach your children. So the follow-up, the instructions with consistency, and which Rashid has just said, you know, clocks in the discipline. So it definitely influences successful changes. And then the I improves. The P, people, the L, lives, the I, N, the N, new, the E, endeavors. Okay, so when it is that we have discipline in our life, it definitely influences successful changes. It improves people's lives in new endeavors. And our children, as they begin to grow and to develop, there'll be new endeavors consistently that's happening in their lives as you begin to give instructions for the construction of their life, that they will have to have and to maintain and sustain discipline, you know, to have make those successful changes, to have the improvement in their lives as they begin to go in and experience new endeavors in their life, new goals in their life. You never see anybody that actually will accomplish anything without discipline, you know, and the best discipline is self-discipline. I know this is something new to you, but I want to take note to that because we probably was raised up and we hear the word discipline, we that means we're going to get a whooping. We're going to get a beating, you know, the time that we came up. Oh, I got discipline for that. You know, even the school teachers in the African-American schools could actually discipline you. There was neighbors, you understand, parents had given them the permission to discipline you. Family members, if they were present, they could discipline you. It wasn't just your mother and father that could discipline you. Well, you know, these times have changed. You know, Rashid, the times have changed, but there's still a need for discipline, you know. So you follow up instructions. And I want to use this here, you know, Ayat from Surah 42, which is Ashur, and 38, where Allah says, those who hearken unto their Lord. I'll just stop with that. But then it also goes and establish regular prayer in all, and conduct all the affairs through mutual consultation. And then the fourth ayat there is, and spend out of what it is to be provided with you. You may ask, how does that actually connect to what we're talking about in terms of looking at what we're talking about tonight in terms of follow-up instructions? So Allah, the Arabic there, the operative word is ishtajabu. Ishtajabu. Ishtajabu is a Quranic Arabic word, means that Allah is saying to us to listen and to respond to him swiftly. To listen and respond. Sometimes we might be saying, I hear you, or I heard that, I'm hearing you, but you're not responding. And then not only that, the ishtajabu actually is saying, not only should you respond to what God is saying, but you should respond swiftly. And this is what it is that we want to see from our children in terms of follow-up instructions with consistency. A lot of times there may be some hesitation, some deliberation, some procrastination, and all. But there are many things that we will instruct our children that possibly, you know, Rashid could actually save their life. And this is supposed to come from the first social unit in human society, which is the sacred institution of family. And, you know, Rashid, I'm quite sure that when you were coming up, you probably could remember some of the instructions that your parents gave you from home and would tell you certain things, maybe like come straight home or don't go outside, or maybe to various ages and stages of life, you know, the freedom was restricted and the instructions was given because they knew where you were and all. And by following the instruction, you understand that was a form, you know, say a discipline for you, but also a form of protection. Rashid?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct, Mark. I remember a number of things that my parents told me that I didn't follow, and I suffered the consequences on my own. You know, I remember a lot. You know, what they say, Hosea, the freaks come out at night. You better get home for your life. Your life come up, you know. And I remember, you know, my dad telling me not to go in a particular neighborhood. Don't do that. And be home by this particular time. And both times, I've learned the lesson the hard way. I lost a beautiful cashmere coat that he told me not to buy. He said, that is not something you need right now. You're too young. I bought the coat anyway. And guess what? Within 3 weeks, the coat was gone. It was stolen from me. And, you know, and then just being in a neighborhood at the wrong time. You know, he got St. Louis, though. We from St. Louis. And don't go down there in the project this time of night unless you know somebody, right? I got ran home. I mean, trying to act like a rabbit like that. Not paying attention to those instructions. So when you say protect you, I could have lost my life. And it's just one disobedient thought process. I could have lost my life. You know, so you're definitely correct about, you know, the discipline aspects of things. And it creates that pattern that protects you, shall I say. That, it gives you the guidance that you needed. And we say this 17 times a day, right? You know, show me a straight path. So that's a discipline.
That's right.
You know, you have to discipline yourself to be on that path. So it's just beautiful to be able to relate these type of things. It's relative. You know, everything we're talking about chronically.
Yes.
Everything we talk about in the parent and family reconstruction learning lab is relative, and not for you. Now you have children and grandchildren. You know, you can still share this information. Great conversations can come from this, Mark, on how to recreate. That word rego, recreate those things which we thought we knew, but we didn't know we didn't know. You know, so that's how I feel about that one.
Alhamdulillah, that's very well said, Rashid Salam. Want to say to those of you who just are tuning in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our special guest facilitator tonight. Rashid Salam has joined us each and every first Wednesday. He's our special guest facilitator tonight, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And our topic tonight is follow-up instructions with consistency, and this is pertaining to our children in terms of follow-up instructions. In other words, it's really putting the emphasis on that you can't just say something to our children that really is of significance and importance and benefit to them, serious and all, and just leave it up to them. You have to follow up the instructions with consistency, and that way they know that you really, really, truly, you mean business. And all. This is something that's lacking today, and as Rashid Salam was just so eloquently articulating, this is all relative. You know, the instructions that we get from the Quran, they're not outdated. It's not something that was good back in the time of the Prophet over 1,444 years ago. This is relative today. This is instructions for the reconstruction of the family life, the sacred institution of family, that can possibly save a loved one's life. When we think about, you understand, many of our young people, our youth, you understand, just losing their life with no instructions, no direction, no guidance, you know, in their life. And also, you know, whereas that the parent is not being consistent in terms of really emphasizing those things that are so very, very important in this first social unit, which is the sacred institution of family. The principles, the values, and all is supposed to be happening in that first social unit. You know, thank God that many of us came up in the era where there was help and assistance that's there. And, of course, we want you to press 1 and what you're hearing, if it's resonating with you, instructions that, we're going to come right to them. If you can relate in terms of your parenting skills and instructions you gave to your children, we'd like to hear from you and why you gave those instructions. And if you came up in a household where your mother and your father or both or one of your parents was constantly giving you instructions, and now that you've grown up and now you become a parent, now you see why instructions are so very vitally important in your life for the discipline and for the protection of your life, maybe even saving your life in terms of following good instructions. So with that being said, Rashid Salam, let's hear from our caller who have a...
Yes, sir. We have 773-449. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Samir Muhammad from Chicago. I can hardly wait to say anything. This is so wonderful. I tell you, the comments that Rashid and Brother Mark are making, they so resonate with the soul. I try to come to these calls like an empty vessel, so that I can retain as much as I possibly can. When I look at the level of the conversation, I don't look at it as though I'm just going to tell all my children are grown, but I realize that this still is a pertinent conversation for them, because what you begin to realize is what you didn't have or what you didn't know that you didn't know, if it did, it made a difference. It would have made a difference in you rearing them, but still, it still has power in the spoken word. And when I always try to put myself in a category where I can learn something too. And I realize, you know, if we be true to ourselves, know thyself and to thyself be true, we'll look at what didn't happen for us, that we're hearing it now, that it would have made a difference. And we still can utilize that, because when you talk about discipline, you talk about reconstructing your life, all those are pertinent aspects that are ongoing, that they're ongoing. And like you said, brother, you can save, you may be able to save somebody's life, you know, by imparting to them this knowledge. And so when I look at it, even for myself, and when I was growing up and I didn't have a certain level of conversation, it shaped my thinking. And I could say now that Allah is blessing me to hear these things, I can transform my life. I can be a instrument to other people's life in my speaking. So I just want to just thank you all, you know, for what you give on this program, you know, every week, because it's so important. It's so important in reviving lives in our life, reviving lives in our thinking, and us making a difference to other people. Because Allah said, love for your brother and sister, what you love for yourself, and it covers a vast area, you know, a vast area. Then we make contributions to humanity. So just thank you, both of you, all what you said. I'm going to, as a boxer, I'll be quiet and listen, because I know there's much more to come. But I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it, because just a few minutes really made a difference with me, because it opens my mind to always be able to learn something. So I sound like this.
I like question. I'm in line. You want to thank Mira Muhammad for coming on, you know, Rashid, in terms of, and we like callers like Amira Muhammad to come on and to share, because, you know, when you're given this type of information, education, when it comes to parenting, what correct parenting is, how to reconstruct the family life, this is vitally important. And so what Rashid and I are actually trying to do, it, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudin with this learning lab, is to reach the consciousness of the people, whereas that what we're saying in terms of information education is resonating with them. When we just look at tonight's topic, Rashid, we could see how if this was being done more, in the sacred institution of family life, and not only in terms of African Americans, because when we watch our local news, we're seeing senseless killings and just all kinds of things that obviously show that there are many of our young people in particular are not getting the instructions. They're not getting the direction. They're not getting the guidance. They are misdirected. They're misguided. There's no instructions that's coming. And so we see the destructiveness in the family life, and we see that not only are they destroying their lives, but they're also destroying other innocent people's lives. And this should be a sign. This should be a sign to us. It should be a message to us that we have to go back to the basic and fundamental things that you and I grew up on, and quite sure that Amira Muhammad grew up on, you know, in terms of the significance of instructions and being able to follow instructions. You know, this word obey or be obedient, it seemed like to be a curse word for many people, Rashid. You know, obey. Right. Come on, obey, be obedient. You know, hey, look, this is the way the life was created. From the very beginning, you know, Rashid, you all often talk about the fitra, but this was the original nature of the human being. When we see that baby, you can't see any creation that's more obedient than that baby when it's first delivered here. It only can do what Allah created it to do. It's only when we become conscious of the free will and the environment that we're in that we have the choice to begin to start to disobey, but understanding our role consciously as parents, you understand, and understanding that this is a part of the fitra, we should be nurturing and cultivating that. And so these instructions, the follow-up with the instructions, the consistency as a parent to make sure that this is really embedded, there's an embellishment, if you will, that these instructions that were vitally important to our parents, and they made sure, and that was a penalty. That was a penalty if you disobeyed. Now you don't hear that word too often. Rashid, any comments you'd like to make?
No problem about that one, Mark. You know, this is the focus that we're trying to do. And you talk about a child coming into this world. If you teach this child certain particular things, we don't even know the possibilities and the potential of what that child will go through, because we provide them with different types of information education that's not in line, as we say, with our FINTRA. So the disciplines and the patterns teach them, but here's the key. You can teach them the disciplines, but they don't understand why they're doing a particular thing. So these conversations that come up between parents and children are so important, where you can just take those aha moments. And when something happens, we show them what it is that they should be doing. But just don't say that. Tell me why. Mom, you go, I know my little son when I was growing, he said, why, Dad? Why? He kept driving me crazy with this word, why? You know, but it was important for me to communicate because he hear me. I told him what to do, but why should I do it? And what's the benefit? And what's what would happen if I don't do it? So they're going to test you. So they won't test you if you provide them with information, if you provide them with why you should be doing a particular thing, then give him an example, something to see. That could be in you. That could be in conversations. That could be some relative abstract thing that you want to teach them. That's just so important. And that's what I love about this program, because it's designed to focus on developing leadership skills in children. Well, you just can't say leadership skills without telling them what is leadership. What is skills, you know, and how does that work? So it is so exciting for us to be on, have an opportunity to share this with our radio listening audience. And I know some of the people on the phone tonight have an experience they can share with us. So we ask you to push one on your phone and just tell us how you feel and what you think and give us an example like Amira did. It was very fruitful for her, because as we get older, you have children, you have neighbors, you have nieces and nephews. You can take this information that you didn't know and share it with them, Mark.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right in regards to that. You're never too old to learn. I think that's the bottom line. You're never too old to learn. You know, Rashid, you brought up an excellent point, because, you know, in terms of the natural curiosity, this is part of the fitra. The fitra is the original nature in which Allah has created all things, including the human creation. For those who are hearing this word for the first time, you're not Muslim. Fitra is an Arabic word that really talks about the original nature and pattern in which God has created all human beings. It doesn't matter in terms of your religious persuasion, ethnicity, or other things, you understand, that may differ. It may be different in terms of nationality and all these things. All people are human. Allah created us all as human beings. And so when you turn that word around as a word tologist, said, a human being is what being human is, what being human is. And so when we look at the original nature of children, then we really learn in terms of what it is that God has put into the very nature of children. And one of the things he has put into that original nature is what we call natural curiosity, the curiosity to want to know. And as a wordologist, the word know is K-N-O-W, and our children, they should know now or wonder. Know now or wonder. And it's important, the responsibility and obligation that we have to our children is to help them to know now so they won't have to wonder in regards to that. So curiosity actually leads to questions. So as Rashid Salam was making his point, and an excellent point altogether, you know, oftentimes we tell our children what to do. We tell them when to do it. We tell them how to do, and we tell them where they should do it at, all of these things, and they are important. But why, actually, picture why as a shovel. It's a shovel. You know, you take a shovel and you dig with a shovel. And so they want to understand, why should I do that? But in parenting skills, you have to be ready and equipped to be able to give them the why, to understand. It is Imam W.D. Muhammad, our very scholarly teacher and leader, has said to us that understanding is the home of the mind. Well, we see this in the fitra. our children, this is new. They're coming into a new environment, into a new world. Things that we may know, they don't know. And so when they begin to accept instructions, and it's something that they may not really want to do, they might say, "Why, Mama? Why should I do that?" I know the answer my mother would give, because I said so. Okay, so we got to update our parenting skills. We got to update our parenting skills. We have to update the parenting skills. We're in the 21st century. And our children may be asking the question because they really do want to know. And you need to sit down and take time and talk to them and say, "This is why I'm instructing you to do this." And it should be have a rational base to it, whereas that they could see the benefit in doing that. It is all about perception. When you want to understand something, it's about perception. And we should treat our children as intelligent beings. We should not give them the same traditional answer that we got. And many of us probably listening on this line tonight probably got that same answer, because I said do it. Because I said do it. You know? And so they still befuddled as to why they should do it. When we teach our children like that in our parenting skills, number one, it helps them to have clarity and a better understanding why we are instructing them to do what it is that we're instructing them to do, because it has a significance. It has a degree of importance to it. It has a benefit. We've already said that things that parents can instruct their children, you know, can be a protection, not only for now in their life, but for later in their life. Just look at it. You can tell the big difference, you know, Rashid, in a child that's not getting any instructions in their life, and then we see the destruction. They're not getting the message. They're just making the mess in their life. So it's incumbent on us to do that. But also, very, very important, when we give our children the why and can answer the why as a parent, it makes us begin to really have to think, to give a rational answer to a thinking mind that can and will ask a question like that. But it also teaches our children, you understand, how to be a parent later on in their life, because at some point they'll be a mother, they'll be a father, and those questions that they're asking, they'll have their turn to have to answer the question. And those things that we have had as a part of tradition, because I said so, don't ask me no more questions. You know, don't ask me no more questions. That's an acronym for the word damn. You don't want to damn a relationship. Don't ask me nothing. That's damning a relationship. You see, we don't want to damn the relationship. We want to create a bond with our children. They may not still want to do that, but at least as a parent, you have performed your role and responsibility in terms of what Rashid said as to why you should do that. And not only make it just for the present, when you are teaching your children, you are teaching them not only for the present, but you should be teaching them for the future. If you're no longer around physically present, you understand, later on in their life, then they can at least say, "My mother, my father, you understand, taught me. They gave me good instructions. They gave me good directions, not only for the time that I was living in, but also for futuristic. They no longer here, but the instruction they gave with me is still a part of me." Rashid?
Yes.
I know
yes,
you
sir.
Have something to say. That radio listening noise, we still have a few minutes left. Press one. Rashid and I would like to hear from you. If this is resonating with you, if this is making good sense, we'd like to hear from you. You can press 1. Rashid, if you don't have anybody in the queue, please comment on that.
Okay, I would definitely comment. We do have someone in the queue, and I'd like to get them in. Just real quickly, I'm going to say what I had to say. We got several people in the queue. As you were talking.
Okay.
And
I knew it was going to happen, Rashid. Let's get to them and see what they have to say.
Okay.
And then
you
can put in your closing remarks.
We have 678-402. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. My name is Abdurrahman. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome. Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Your question or comment, please.
I guess not a question, but a comment, and just about the seeking the advice of a mother, and just coinciding with the things you were saying about the early age, advising the child of the importance and who he will be. I remember from way back 5 years old, my mother would always tell me one day I'm gonna be a husband, a father, a teacher or a sheikh or imam. And then she found opportunity to send me across the water to another country to learn these things. But I say all that to say is all those things that was poured into me when I found trouble, me and the devil was wrestling, and he got his foot on my neck for a little while. These things that was installed inside of me helped protect me on the outside. So when I did get up, it would knock me back down, you know. And then I can be some type of aid to those who are coming up. But I say as far as just the comment is, a part that my mom did not hinder me in my growth was she never bought me Nikes. She never bought me a game console. And let me see. Those things that kids had growing up, I never had. So when I went to play football, it was time to pay registration fees. She bought me a lawnmower and a gas can and told me to cut grass and go get my own
I'm kind of laughing at that because it kind of replicates somewhat my childhood too.
But like I say, all praise due to God. It saved me. It saved my life because it's part of the story. I did 15 years in a place that is very difficult. You know, not only did I do those 15 years there, God blessed me to be in a position where. Out of 9 prisons that I attend, 5 of them I was an imam at.
I'm loving this here, my brother. And alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for calling in and actually sharing that with us. Those are the type of things Rashid and I, we love to hear because that means, as they say, hope is still alive. And it's a word just for the spirit. Hope is having only positive expectations. And so when we hear a story like that coming from a young person like you, we know that hope is still alive. And thank you so much for, you know, making this contribution on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Please continue to listen. Don't be no stranger. Press 1 as you go out. Thank you so much. Press 1 as you go out. Beautiful story. Rashid Salam, we got some other hands in the air. We still got some time here.
Yes, sir. We have 401-258. Hey, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister
Alaikum
from North Providence. You know what?
I know that voice. My sister, Angela Marie.
You know what that brother said just that day he left because you know what? There's something similar happened to me. Iman Ali Rashid, who used to be the principal at Sister Clara Muhammad School, Malcolm Shabazz on 116th Street in Lenox Avenue. When my sons was going there, I had gotten some extra money from the sale of my mother and father's house, and I went and did a stupid thing in Spurs and got them some leather bomber clothes. Ali Rashid brought me and my husband into that office, and he told us off. He said, first of all, they don't need no leather bomber coats. Somebody might steal from, but he said, if they needed to have real one, they should earn it. You should even be just giving them the... Oh, my God. He told us, he told me and my husband off. Oh, God. He was right. And
yes,
really, Jason, you know why? Because this thing has carried on to today where they still think I'm supposed to give them this. And if they don't get it, when they used to say, well, if you don't give it to me, Grandma and Grandpa will give it to me. on the father's side or on my side, and that's what would happen. So we spoil them, and to
yes.
this day, that's especially my older son. He's still that way. And he
mm-hmm.
needs a good bat beating on his back, but I know a lot's gonna beat him up. But the, another thing also to you know, is the same thing happens with us. When we didn't listen to our parents, they could explain to us over and over and tell us why the consequences. Or sometimes they
That's
would
right.
spank us. Or I didn't use spanking. I'd rather talk to them and take the privilege away from them. That would hurt them more, really.
Oh,
taking
yeah.
the privilege away
now,
from
you
them
go. Now you're
or
talking.
Something that they were, that would hurt my sons more. We didn't beat. I didn't put
no.
my hands
hey,
on
good.
Them and my husband. We
good.
Did not do that because I
yeah.
saw my sister beat her son unmercifully for
yeah.
stupid things.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
I think
and,
it's horrible.
Yeah, Angela Marie, let me say
mm-hmm.
this here, and that's today in the 21st century, that's very, very effective parenting because you want them to feel the pain in terms of being disobedient, but at the same time, what happened when we were children, it can't happen today because we'll be behind bars.
That's right. Because some of these, let me tell you something. I know parents here in Rhode Island that are afraid of their 22-year-old sons. Some of these people are deacons and stuff at churches. And I, like this one man, I said, Simon, why don't you get your 22-year-old son to help you shovel that snow up from around the church? He said, no, he's playing some stupid video games or whatever.
Oh,
I said, excuse me? I said, you should put him out on this. He don't want to help you. You should put him out. Tell him he can't get no food and he has to get out or something or whatever. He said, oh, he'll call the authorities. I said, excuse me? That is your house. You're taking care of him, and he can't help you? And they're
yeah.
afraid because, you know, some of these children, they do. They call
yeah.
the Lord. If their parents hit them, they'll say, oh, they bruised them. They hurt them unmercifully. They didn't harm them.
Alhamdulillah.
You know,
yes,
they
ma'am.
Didn't even touch them. They have,
yes.
but, and another thing also is that even though we give our children good guidance, I tell my sons now, you know right from wrong, I'm going to show you in the Quran or I'm going to show you in the Bible, the ones that don't practice it.
Oh,
I'm
going to
show you, I
yeah.
am going to show you the right and wrong of your behavior.
Yes,
then
man.
You won't have to question me because you'll know for yourself. You already know, but you just
yeah.
want to go against it. But
yeah,
sometimes we don't want them to have to face the consequences of their behavior.
Yes, we know we don't.
But
you know,
we
got short
do.
On time here because we do. We got another production following
okay.
this.
All right.
But
no,
everything you're saying, Sister Angela Marie, you are right. You're 100% right on point. And I'm glad that you did call in and share that with us because we can't.
But sometimes they have to go through some stuff anyway. Entitlement. No matter
yeah,
how
and,
we try to stop it. They,
yeah,
we
have to make
it.
Them earn their way in life. And even if you're in a
okay.
position, that's not the best thing. Thank you so much, Sister Angela
okay.
Marie.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Press 1, Angela Marie, as you go out the queue, if you will, continue to listen. That's a voice from our sister station, AM 360. Always welcome, Angela Marie. Rashid Salam, any other hands up real quick? We got a couple of minutes here.
The studio is closed. I mean, nobody, no hands are raised.
Oh, it's closed. Okay. So, Rashid, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you would, take a minute. I know you probably like to have said more, but your closing remarks as we get up to the hour so we can transition to the MGM roundtable.
I think our call has made the point very, very clear, you know. And
oh,
I was
very
just going,
clear.
Yeah, so, you know, based on the misinformation, the disinformation, based on what we say to our children, what we do to our children, how our children see us, function, that reservoir doesn't go anyplace. It's always, that memory takes in all those particular things. And so circumstances will happen where you'll be able to draw from those instructions that you receive because now I felt the pain of not obeying. You know, and this whole thing that we're talking about right now, we talk about just being obedient, you know, and taking into consideration that our fathers and our mothers had a life experience that we didn't have. And some of it wasn't 100% correct. But, you know, the basis, the basics of Mark, it was right. They told us the right things, you know. And so with, as the world changes, as they say, as the world turns,
yes.
you know, things happen. And we just have to hold on to the foundation, hold on to the truth. The actual facts that we are given to function with, and not let this world interfere with our ability to reason and perceive. So I'm going to say that, and I think we run out of time. But
we are. And thank you so much, Rashid Salam, for each first Wednesday, you sit in the seat of Dr. Patricia Slaudine, who is our very distinguished, esteemed co-host. And producer here of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. I want to say to a radio listening audience, thank you for listening in for this first hour. Just want to just say one last thing here. It's important because I hear from the Quran comes to me where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, tells us to obey Allah, to obey Allah, obey His messenger, and obey those who have been placed in authority among us. And most certainly, you understand, our parents have been placed in authority among us and above us in that regard. So, you know, very important in matters where you differ, you have to refer it back to Allah and His messenger. And so we have other ayats in the Quran. When we look at the Surah Luqman, read that. Allah gives us instructions only in terms of certain instances where you should disobey your parents. But Allah puts heavy emphasis in terms of obeying your parents and be kind to your parents. Very, very important. So this is part one on this topic in terms of follow-up instructions with consistency. And so next week, we'll put a cap on it when Dr. Patricia Slaudine returns back here to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. A special thanks to Rashid Salam for sitting in. Excellent, excellent, part excellent always in his commentary. Want to say before we transition to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow will be the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewels of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. However, there will probably be a repeat of last week's production in all, as I look not being able to be present for tomorrow. But I think you will really, really enjoy this special announcement that was made last week on that production. And the topic last week, if you didn't get it, you need to bring your pen and pad to listen to that. It was the benefit, the significance, the importance of an Islamic marriage contract. The benefit, the significance, importance of an Islamic marriage contract. A lot of great information in that, so you want to tune in and get that starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And as we transition, I always like to start each and every production out with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that He has no partners nor associates in His rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the Prophet, and he is Allah's humble servant and His noble and generous messenger, And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that Almighty God, Allah, is the source of the peace. And for those who extend that greeting, and for those who receive that greeting, it is an obligation on them. Assalamu alaikum. This is the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam Wdeen Muhammad, but also outside of the community of Imam Wdeen Muhammad, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community, to the MGM Roundtable, no less tonight. I'm so very, very honored to have us a first-time guest here on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, our beloved Imam Rashad Sharif, 27 years as the resident Imam there in Memphis, Tennessee at Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center. He is Imam Emeritus there and all, and so it gives me great joy and very elated and honored to have him here as we talk about how did this begin, as this is, in fact, they'll be celebrating the 21st anniversary with Muslims in Memphis, and it actually is in the month of March, so it's a lot of M's that's there. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Rashad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam. Please let me know if my voice is coming through.
Your voice is coming through, but I'm hearing a little crackling there in the phone, and I don't know if it's a bad connection or what, but we'll see. If it gets real bad, then, you know, I'll make a suggestion what we can do. I don't know if you have it on speaker or not or what, but it's a little crackling there. Well, first of all, I want to just say that I'm honored to have you here at the MGM Roundtable, and honored that you have accepted my request, because this roundtable, a Muslim Global Message Roundtable, is designed to really highlight and spotlight those that I think that are movers and shakers in our community. Oftentimes, Brother Imam, we hear people say, ain't nothing going on, it's nothing going on. You know, I don't know where those persons that saying nothing is going on. You know, have we been up on a rock or what? You know, this is the 21st anniversary of Muslims in Memphis, and the various activities and the celebration that's been going on for a long period of time, with the exception, of course, of the COVID years that we just experienced where everything was shut down, but very consistent, and so many things that have transpired, and the good things, the service to the community and all what it is that you do there in Memphis. So I want to start out with giving you an opportunity, maybe say a couple, 2 or 3 minutes, whereas you can introduce yourself and let the people know who is Imam Rashad Sharif, if you will. So once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. I am trying now without the speakerphone on. How is it coming through now?
You still got that. It's like a little crackling, but we can go with that if it doesn't. If we have a caller that would press 1 and say if it's difficult for them to hear, because this show is going to be archived and we want it to be as best as we possibly can. So let's go ahead, Brother Imam.
I'm Rashad Sharif. I am a native Memphian. So except for going away to school for a few years, I was born and raised in my younger years in Memphis, and my family base has always been in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted al-Islam at Masjid al-Mu'minun in Memphis, Tennessee. And
okay.
Masjid al-Mu'minun, by the way, was the first masjid established in Memphis and the greater county around Memphis. And it's a community that promotes learning and teaching
mm-hmm.
and living the eternal wisdom of the words of God and building valuable relationships with all God-conscious people. This is a concept that we got from our national leadership back in the days when we were under the name Muslim American Society. So that language that I just referred to should
mm-hmm.
be familiar to people in communities all around the country. So I
Brother
serve
Sam,
as
hold up,
imam.
Just one moment. Brother Sam,
okay.
Hold up just one moment. Rashid, do me a favor here. Check your studio board and make sure that everybody that was in the last production, that their mic is closed, that you muted everybody out, if you would. Just try that and let's see if that makes it any better. Okay,
no,
everybody
muted
out. Because I may have to have you to hang up and call back in. Sometimes that works. Why don't we try that, Brother Imam? Hang up and call back in the number, the 714-816-4673, and then press 1. Maybe a better connection. Let's try
I'll
that.
I'll do that right now.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So while Imam Sharif is doing that, it's a bad connection. Generally speaking, we don't have that. but sometimes it happens in modern technology. You know, you have a bad connection, and I know the information that he's going to disseminate is very significant information. I want our radio listening audience to hear it very clearly, what it is that he's saying. And we archive all of these productions, so when you go back to listen, I don't want to hear that rattling, noise, crackling. And sometimes it's just something that we can't control. So, but I, you know, being in this business for a while, sometimes just hanging up and calling back in. And so, Rashid, when you see his number appear, he has to press 1, and he should be calling back in a few minutes. But this is very, very important. Okay, so. Okay.
He just dropped out for some reason. Hang on. Oh, there he is. He just dropped out. So make sure he doesn't have his earpiece on or something like that, because that could hurt too.
Oh, okay. That's another thing too. Okay, so he'll come in. So I'm going to use this time now, you know, as opposed to the end. We want you to continue to listen in to IWDM radio, because we have every day is being filled, and the month of Ramadan is coming up, and so there will be some changes on some of the times, especially the evening programming. And by next week, we'll have that time change for the shows in the evening, but there still will be a presence each and every day. And you can look forward to the MGM Roundtable that comes after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that will be moved to Saturday afternoon. So by next week, inshallah, God willing, you'll have the special time during the month of Ramadan. And, of course, those of you who have been trying to keep up with it, is the prognostication is that Ramadan 2023 is slated to begin either March the 22nd or the 23rd, and that is on the new Hilal, the new Hilal being the sighting of the new moon. So just stay tuned for that, but we will make some adjustments in the time so that we would be off the air and it won't conflict with you in terms of being able to break your fast on time and making your salat to Maghrib and the iftars, whether it's going to be with family or family and friends or with your community. So stay tuned here to IWDM Radio for that. And so let's look at Imam Sharif. If you're there, we need you to press 1, bro. We need you to press
1. He's in, Mark.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Imam Sharif?
Wa alaikum as-salam.
I knew we would get it. Allah would bless us again. Now, that is so, you are so clear, crystal clear. So please continue as to where you were and who you are and all what you're all about to our radio listening audience. Thank you.
Okay. So as a native Memphian, I come from a family that was Black Episcopals. And so in my younger years, I was an altar boy in the Episcopal Church. And I read about Al-Islam in one of my parents' coffee table books. And when I got to the book was about the great religions of the world. And when I got to the chapter about Islam, I found myself saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. That's right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
And this was back in 1957. I was 10 years old. And in the South, the segregated South, and in that book, all the pictures of Muslims were overseas. And so I said to my 10-year-old self, oh, isn't that just like everything else in my life? You see something that's good and it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for somebody else. Because we were used to not being able to go in the front door of places and not being able to go to the fairgrounds except on Tuesdays, and you couldn't go to the zoo except on Thursdays and that type of a thing. So when I read in Jet Magazine that the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was bringing in universal Islam, I looked forward to seeing if that was going to be the thing that I had fallen in love with back in 1957 and kind of abandoned hope of being able to get into it. So I got invited to the grand opening of Masjid al-Mu'minun in Memphis when the property had just been acquired, and I visited for a while and then took my shahada at Masjid al-Mu'minun and wound up eventually being associate imam and then resident imam and now imam emeritus.
Brother Imam, I need you to go back and fill in a couple of, spaces there. When you got introduced, you say, there to Al-Mu'minun there in Memphis. What year was that to your recollection?
Oh, it was the summer of 1975.
Okay, summer of 1975. So alhamdulillah, so you actually came into the community right on the heels of the transitioning of leadership from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to his son at that time, the Supreme Minister, Wallace D. Muhammad, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I just wanted to see, okay, so wow, the elevation and all. And so you were a member, you've been a member there ever since that time. And also, what I'm counting is actually right at 48 years. You're not going to do a 48 years. And then 27 of those years, you were the resident imam. And that started in
1992.
Okay, 92. So alhamdulillah, and that tenure went all the way up until
2019.
So alhamdulillah, no, that's great. I just wanted you to fill that in, for the people, so that they know, exactly when you came in and all. But I thought that really was amazing that as a 10-year-old, you reading something about the religion of Al-Islam and it piquing your interest. And this just goes to show how, when they say Allah makes Muslims, but at 10 years old, being very astute in actually reading that and all, and how it piqued your interest. We're talking about 1957, so, you know, we're talking about a difference of 18 years there before it was that, you know, the reality of actually coming into the community and taking your Shahada chain at that point, 1975, correct?
No, I started visiting in 75, and I finally took my Shahada in 77, as a matter of fact.
Oh, 77. Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. So, yeah. So you start visiting in 75, but you took your Shahada chain in 1977. So, alhamdulillah. And for those who are not Muslim, you know, the Shahada chain is actually a declaration or testifying and bearing witness, you know, that there's nothing that can and will be served or should be served nor worshiped except for one God only, and that he has no partners and you don't have any associates, and that's Allah, you know, and also bearing witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he is God's humble servant and he's his messenger. He's the seal of the prophets and all. That is actually what is said, but we're talking about Shahada, but it's actually Shahada Tain. Tain means two. And so bearing witness to that. And when, and there can be no coercing, you know, actually saying you've been coming here for a period of time and it's time for you to take the Shahada Tain to make that declaration. You know, so he was not coerced in terms of doing that. It was no compelling. You know, it's only when he had come to the conclusion himself from what it was that he had been listening and learning from that he could stand before Allah and stand before witnesses and do that. That's what all of us have to do when we come to this way of life, you know. And you can't say that he feels something. You know, this is a feeling that he's thinking something. This is his opinion. No, he has to come in knowing something, or she has to come in knowing something and bearing witness to what it is Allah has blessed them to know and do it on their own free will. So I just wanted to say that because, Brother Imam, we don't have all Muslims that are listening. So, you know, the language that we speak, what do you mean, Shahada, you know, in that regard?
Right.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, Brother Imam. So now let's flip the script a little bit here, and let's talk a little bit because, you know, the tenure that you've had, you know, being the resident imam and now the imam emeritus there at Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center, you were there when the inception of Muslims in Memphis actually started. Give us somewhat of a background of that. How did this actually happen? What precipitated this Muslim in Memphis and actually in the word march? So there's three M's there. Give us a little background history, if you would, please.
All right. This phenomenon is the coming together of a few things. You might say it's a perfect storm or a perfect blessing. A lot of different factors happen to coalesce or come together beautifully just for this to happen. First of all, Memphis had finally elected its first African-American mayor. And Muslims have been effective and contributors to his being selected as the first African-American mayor. We had a leader, Dr. Talib Kareem Muhammad, in Memphis on the city council, and he convened an African-American People's Summit so that one consensus candidate could be elected. One of our Massachusetts community members was selected to give the opening prayer. So that convention was opened with Al-Fatiha by one of our Masjid community members. Okay? So we already had Muslim, African-American Muslim representation in local politics. Okay? Now, this first African-American mayor, which is Dr. W.W. Harrington, one of his first speaking engagements was at Masjid al-Mu'minun. We invited him to come and speak even before he was mayor, when he was the superintendent of the local school system, okay? So he got to be mayor after having also already been a very public figure as the superintendent of schools. Now, that background is one thing. The other thing is that the terrorist attack on 9/11 happened in 2001.
Yes.
So there was a whole lot of stereotyping of Muslims and all this negativity. Now, the mayor established an Office of Multicultural and Religious Affairs, and that's OMRA. UMRA, Office of Multicultural and Religious Affairs, okay? And that Department of City Government produced a multicultural presentation at City Hall. At that presentation, the Muslims from around the city of Memphis made a presentation which was so intelligently presented, so smoothly presented, so different from the stereotype, it gave that mayor further encouragement to make a bold move. So he decided that he would become the first, or one of the leaders, probably the first mayor in America, to announce after 9/11 a month recognizing and respecting the Muslim part of the fabric of culture in our city.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar.
So the terrorist attack, 2001. In 2002, the Muslims' presentation at City Hall gave him the confidence that he was not going to get embarrassed by some crazy Muslims. So he announced the intention to the Muslims to support having a month for Muslim culture in Memphis. I had always wanted there to be such a thing, but I didn't have a view of any near way to make it happen. So the things started to come together. I suggested to the Muslim leadership around the city that we pick the month of March. And I basically sold the idea because with that, Memphis would have Black History Month in February, Muslims in Memphis Month in March. We already have Africa in April as a themed month, followed by Memphis in May, which is an international cultural celebration. So we have February, March, April, and May as a four-month stream of themed months once we plugged in Muslims in Memphis month for that gap in March. So by 2003 was the first opportunity to officially do that. So 2001, the terrorist attack, 2002, the decision to support such a thing, and by 2003, we had the mayoral proclamation, the city council proclamation, and all of that. And then it was from then on, it was for us as Muslims to fill that month with life and offer presentations on Islamic culture to the city of Memphis.
Alhamdulillah. That's excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, Imam Sharif. Well, that's quite a history, and very historic, even in not only for Memphis, but also in regards to our community. And I know a lot of people didn't know that it had ties to 9/11 and all in terms of how it got started. But look what came out of it, the good that came out of something that many had misnomers and misconception and perception in terms of how people, even in this country, view Muslims, you see. And so actually, in terms of living our religion, look what resulted from that. So I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's the MGM Roundtable. You have any questions or comments that you'd like to ask our honored guest, Imam Rashad Sharif, the Imam Emeritus there at Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center there in Memphis, Tennessee, based on some of the things that he has said. And many of our radio listening audience is quite acquainted with Muslims in Memphis in the month of March and all. And so we're going to get to looking at this year so that Imam Sharif can kind of give us an overview what it is, as we all are aware, and many are waiting for that visit, that visitor that we know we get annually. And, of course, I'm talking about Ramadan 2023. It'll be happening in the Gregorian calendar this month. This is the first day of March, and the prognostication is approximately March the 22nd and the 23rd, as now we're in the month of Shaban. In the Hijra calendar, it is Shaban. We just left the month of Raja, and now we're in the month of Shaban. And so we're looking at approximately 3 weeks before the start of Ramadan. But there still will be a presence of Muslims in Memphis this year. There'll be some alterations, of course, in respect for this blessed month of Ramadan that's due to begin March the 22nd or 23rd, depending on the sighting of the new hilal this month. So with that being said, Brother Imam, if you would please, for our radio listening audiences, those who are thinking about coming to Memphis, Tennessee, of course, you know, I'm aware of the fact that there will be two weekends. So if you are prepared to kind of give an overview of what those persons that may be listening and planning on maybe making a trip there for Muslims in Memphis this year, 2023. And while you're doing that, if you'd like to infuse some of the things that perhaps you've done before in the past when you had the whole month in terms of the celebration each and every weekend, please do so. Brother Imam.
All right. Let's start with the past.
Okay.
In the past, before COVID and before March was interlaced with Ramadan, we have had grand opening ceremonies on the first weekend of the month, mayoral proclamations from the city council. We've had parades. We've had drill teams, horses, Corvettes in the parade, marching bands, and all of this type of thing. We've had various grand marshals of the parade. Back, if you remember, the NBA player Larry Johnson. We had Larry Johnson, who was also did the costume thing as Grandma, if you remember that athlete, as the grand marshal. We've had themes for every month. and we've concluded the month with a thing that we call the Slamming Jamming Grand Finale, where we would recap the month, we would have a dinner, we would have special presentations, normally a band or a DJ, usually an actual band, and have a big event to wrap up the month. Now, this year, we're not going to be having the dinner dance with music and all of that to wrap up the month because we will be in Ramadan mode. So we are having the grand opening on the weekend of Friday, March 3rd through March 5th. So obviously we have our Jummah prayer and our Sunday Ta'lim. The festivities will be on Saturday, March 4th, with the grand opening where we will have the reading of the proclamations. We will have an open house. We will have a food festival. We're planning on this to be outdoors, weather permitting. We will have rides, bouncy houses, games, and tours of the masjid. Tours of the halal food pantry that we have, because we in Memphis at Masjid al-Mu'minun, we have the first halal food pantry affiliated with the National Food Bank, with the regional food bank. So this is the first of its kind in America. And we also have our museum. We have a museum in the Masjid, the Museum of Islamic History. So the open house will have tours of the masjid and guided tours of the museum, which is inside the masjid. So that's
you know, Brother Imam, I also, what I'm looking at too, you know, this has been so thoughtfully planned because I'm hearing you say that you also have something for the children. So those persons are thinking about saying come in and make it a family affair. You have the games. You have, like you said, the bouncy houses, and you also have rides and everything for the children to actually enjoy themselves too.
Exactly. And this is this is normal for us. This is what we do.
Yes,
and
sir.
We'll, of course, have a DJ as well.
And am I understanding your Friday, as you said, and all the entities that's in our community always begin with Salatu Jummah, and I think it probably should set the tone for the whole of the weekend. As I guess our only brother from St. Louis, and you know, commuting back and forth from St. Louis to Memphis, Imam Wale Fakan. It's going to be
he will give the Jummah presentation on Friday.
Oh, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
He will give the Jummah prayer.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay. And so the other things that you have for that's for the Friday. I heard you say also in terms of some type of food fest. I know I'm aware of your food pantry, but I didn't know that it was historical. Just what you just disseminated the information in terms of its very inception and connection. I was aware of your food pantry, and you all have been doing this for quite a few years now, correct?
As I recall, and I might not be historically correct, I think the first year of that was 2012.
So, okay.
So that's more than 10 years now.
About 11 years here.
Yeah.
Yes,
but
sir.
But the thing is, like, the food bank for this region of the country, we're affiliated officially with that food bank.
Okay.
And that means that we are part of their network. We are certified by them, and we work with them to the extent that we can in that not all of their food is acceptable to our standards. So we are a for real halal food pantry, and we don't give our neighbors who need food stuff that we wouldn't eat.
Brother Imam, please, if you would, give a very simplistic, if you would, definition of what halal is. And, you know, the only reason I'm doing that because I know that all of our listeners that's listening into IWDM radio are not Muslim, so that won't be a word that go over the head. What is he talking about, halal?
Okay.
Please, Brother Imam.
Right. So I think most of our listeners are familiar that the people of the Jewish faith have a standard for food called kosher. And it means it meets all the requirements. So halal is like that in that it means that the food meets all of the requirements. It basically means wholesome, legal, permissible. And that's to high standards. So if the food pantry has some stuff, the official food bank, not us, but the official regional food bank has some stuff that they are giving to their affiliates because it's about to expire or turn bad. It's not good enough for us.
Alhamdulillah. I think we can add healthy to that because that's a part of what is permissible in terms of being healthy. For us, so all of that is taken into consideration when we're talking about what is halal. And I'm glad you said that because that's always a concern in terms of expiration, you know, and that you all are very discriminating as to what food you actually can and will accept and those things that you can't and won't accept because of the fact that you always want to give food that would be not only permissible but also would be healthy for the people. You shouldn't give something that you wouldn't eat yourself. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that, Brother Imam.
I'd like to add, though, we've had many, many experiences of the people in the neighborhood who are our clients telling us how much they notice a difference in the quality of what we provide in terms of the food as well as the neighborliness, the respect, the welcoming treatment that we give when we give the food.
Yes.
So that's our first weekend. And the second and the third weekends, we're not having special festivities. We're just having various different imams to give the Friday prayer presentation and the Sunday teaching presentation.
Okay.
Then when we get to the fourth weekend, the presenter of the Friday prayer and sermon will be our resident imam, our current resident imam, our fourth resident imam, Imam Wali Shahid. Saturday, the 25th, which will be Ramadan, we're going to have our halal food pantry distribution because we always distribute on the final Saturday of each month.
Okay.
No matter what, rain, shine, Thanksgiving, Christmas, no matter what it falls on, we just keep our commitment last Saturday of each month. The Southern Imams will also be coming to Memphis for an imam meeting on that Saturday, March the 25th. So we will
That's the Southern region, and this is an annual thing. Am I correct, Brother Imam?
Well, the Southern Imams meet quarterly. Quarterly. They have been coming to Memphis annually.
Okay.
Because except for the COVID phenomenon, we've had this big slamming, jamming grand finale that I mentioned. So there was a big production to attract Memphis as being the place to come during March, for the March meeting.
Yes,
but,
sir.
They're coming to Memphis despite the fact that it's going to be Ramadan. We're not going to be having the big celebration this particular year.
I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable hosted by Mark Shaheen and our very, very special guest, as our beloved Imam Rashad Sharif, the Imam Emeritus there at Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And he's our invited guest, and he's given us a historical background on Muslims in Memphis in the month of March, how it all began and all, and also disseminated information in terms of this 21st anniversary. And so we want to invite you, that those of you who are listening, you may want to ask him a question, you may want to make a comment or some things that may have been said that's resonating with you, and you may just want to just give him the greetings and welcome him to IWDM Radio. I know he would appreciate that also. So this is your time. Please press 1, get in the queue if you have something to say, and all of us should have something to say, because these are good things. These are plus things that are happening in our community right in the state of Tennessee and in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. So press 1. You have a question or comment. Back to you, Brother Imam. Sharif.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been going over the things that are planned and brought about by the planning and the work, the effort of the believers at Masjid al-Mu'minun. Now,
yes, sir.
There are additional things that go along with Muslims in Memphis Month, because we have a very and have always had a very harmonious relationship with the other masajid, the masajid from the Muslims, mainly populated by Muslims of various international backgrounds and all of that. And we have always had this harmonious relationship. That's part of the beauty of how this pantry got started. Because, in fact, we had the vision, the willingness, the nutritionists in our community, the people who worked in food service and the willingness to work. Other people from across town had the willingness to donate and keep connections. And so we basically put it all together. And
yes.
No strings attached, by the way. So we will say that to say other planners are also filling in something on the second weekend where in a suburban community outside of Memphis, there's going to be an expo of Muslim artists and authors at the library of that suburb called Germantown. That's produced by another set of planners. There's also going to be a Muslim night at the FedEx Forum when the Memphis Grizzlies play around the third weekend of March. And what that basically is a halftime recognition and some halftime activities or with Muslim participation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the Grizzlies do recognize Muslims in Memphis Month at one of their games.
Allahu Akbar. And for those who don't know, he's saying the Grizzlies, this is a professional NBA team, National Basketball Association team. And I have to say, they're pretty darn good there in Memphis. And I know they're proud of their team, professional team, and their name is the Grizzlies, the Memphis Grizzlies, a National Basketball Association professional team there, actually honoring the Muslims in Memphis. So that's quite a tribute there. Just wanted to make sure our radio listening audience was aware of who you was talking about there, the
okay.
Memphis Grizzlies.
And there's one more part of Muslims in Memphis Month that is not yet back from COVID this year. We have, for about 3 years before COVID, we had an event produced at the Agri Center, which is like an expo convention hall type place.
Okay.
Huge place with Muslim vendors, Muslim exhibits, guest speakers, film presentations, that whole type of thing, with a children's area, outdoor rides, balloon rides, even outside, not balloons, but balloon rides, where you go up in an inflated balloon for a short ride, all of this type of thing. We've had that going on, but not yet this year. So maybe next year. So I wanted to mention that.
Well, you know, there's quite a few things, even though it's not per se being sponsored in that second and third week prior to Ramadan 2023. But there's a lot that's going on there in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. And what I love, too, Imam Sharif, is the cooperation, the collaboration, if you will, in terms of other Muslim communities with the local masajids and Islamic centers there in terms of working together. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I know that this is something, knowing our beloved leading teacher as well as I do, that this is something that he would really relish and really love, you know, whereas that we've taken the lead that he had in terms of interfaith dialogue, and interfaith dialogue, and began to actually work together for the good of the whole, for everyone, and even embracing our Christian brothers and sisters and Jewish brothers and sisters and all, and this is open to the whole of the community there in Memphis. So this is something I know Imam Muhammad would really, really love and relish to see that this is happening in one of our major cities here. So I want to, at this point, want to once again invite our radio listening audience to please press 1 if you have a question or comment. And we're aware that many listen in by way of the Internet for you to be able to ask our honored guest, Imam Sharif, a question or make a comment on anything he has said tonight here on the MGM Roundtable. You do have to call into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. Want to go to our engineer, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. Do we have any hands in the air? Want to ask a question or make a comment?
Yes,
and then
yes, sir.
Let's go
you
to
sure
our callers.
Do. Let me give my brother Imam the greeting. Assalamu alaikum, my good brother. Nice to have you on.
Well, alaikum assalam. I'm honored to be here.
Yes, sir. We have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Rashad. My son has your namesake, Rashad, my youngest child. So I expect great things from him. I couldn't wait to say something to you, because when you mentioned how Allah has blessed you with discerning of knowing, when you picked up that information from your parents' table about Islam, and you were saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. Allah has already given your spirit of discerning. You're special, because it's not all young children that could distinguish what you were saying. And I, too, as a young child, very young, Allah had blessed me with that kind of insight. And, you know, a lot of times when you're young and Allah has blessed you with that, it's hard for especially adults to acknowledge who you are because they always want to keep you in a place of a child's mindset. And what the previous program was speaking of in terms of discipline, so that our children can have a strong foundation. You have to have that discipline in order to remain focused. And as you were walking us through that journey, once you had said, well, Allah had blessed you in your knowing at 10 years old, and as I was listening to you through your journey, I say, this brother is going to do great things. And as you shared that with us, I can really see who you were in your spirit. And I just want to acknowledge who the Muslim community was for that mayor in shaping his listening and his speaking and encouraging him so that he can take a stand for who he was. And also what the great things that you all have accomplished in Memphis. And I'm just so happy that I was able to be on the program to hear you. Inshallah, one day I would like to meet you and just, you know, be in the spirit of who you are. And I know who you are. So thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you and your community in Memphis. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mayor Muhammad. Very well said, Brother Imam. Did you want to respond? What?
I was moved to make an additional comment by what the sister said, and something that also had been in the back of my mind. Part
yes,
of
sir.
Our national language said, we will cultivate valuable relationships with all God-conscious people.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
So, taking that seriously means we cultivate valuable relationships with people of other religions.
Yes, sir.
It means we cultivate valuable relationships with Muslims from other communities in our locale or nationwide. It
yes, sir.
Also means we cultivate valuable relationships with one another inside the Masjid community.
Yes, sir.
One thing about Masjid al-Mu'minun in Memphis, Tennessee, this
mm-hmm.
is a community that has never split. I cannot emphasize that enough. We value the relationship between our own selves, especially during times when there are maybe disagreements or conflicting perceptions or
mm-hmm.
whatever. We valued our relationships enough to stay together. And I cannot envision how we have managed to do what we have done if we had been two separate communities, two separate mm-hmm. leaders, two separate addresses, two separate indebtednesses, two separate sets of overhead. So that cultivating valuable relationships is valuable.
Yes,
super
sir.
Valuable.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, one of your first comments was that some people say nothing is going on in our community. Well, cultivation doesn't make a lot of noise. Cultivation is quiet work.
Yes.
Cultivation is visionary work. Cultivation is thinking about stage after stage after stage, planning ahead, being
Come
patient.
Come on, Billy, ma'am.
Planting seeds, watching
yes.
over things, making sure that
yes.
things have what they need. It's
uh-huh.
quiet work, but it's important work, and it eventually bears fruit because that's the nature of cultivation.
Cultivation. Brother Imam, I so appreciate this statement that you're making. And, you know, this is a national, international blog talk radio, and I'm hoping that so many people get this message. There's people I'm thinking about when you saying that. I hope that they would actually be listening, because you really, as we say down south, I'm St. Louis by way of Mississippi, and you just said a mouthful there. Very, very important, and those are words of wisdom It don't make a lot of noise, but it's needed and necessary to actually have produce. And this is something our beloved teacher, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, has said. He said that you have to start with a purpose. He said the bigger your purpose, he said, the bigger the interest that you have. Then he said the bigger the interest that you have, the bigger the energy that you put forth. And then he said the bigger the energy that you have, he said the bigger the produce or the product. And so I see a correlation that's there. You understand? If we have a big purpose, cultivation is a big purpose. That's what Allah has commanded us to do in terms of that, in terms of the cultivation. You know, I'm not an imam, but I know a little something about this religion, having been in it almost 56 years. And so when we do that, it's all designed to produce something. And the imam gave us an excellent framework for it. Make the purpose big. If the purpose is big, then you're going to have a big interest in it. And if you have a big interest in something, then you're going to have big energy that's going to be generated from the big purpose and interest that you have. And then he say, then the bigger the produce, the bigger the product that you can produce. Thank you so much. I want to say how much that really, really warmed my heart, what you just said. Rashid Salam, any more hands in the air? Let's go and see what the others have on their mind as they greet our honored guest, Imam Rashad Sharif.
No, there's no other hands in the studio at this time, Mark.
Okay, I know you got something you might want to say. Rashid, you never at a loss for words, and
As he was speaking, you know, the thing that came to my mind, talking about cultivation, how have it been with the language differences when working with the those who are non-Muslims and working with the city and so forth and so on? How did this language, was it a language barrier you weren't imposing Islam on them, and we were respecting them, who they are? How did that develop? And I think you shared with us earlier about the internal struggles with the mayor and so forth and so on, but how has that been for you guys?
Good question. Brother Imam?
I think you were breaking up a little bit with that question. Can I get that restated, please?
Okay. The question was, you know, how has it been with the language barrier, who you are, what you are, working with non-Muslims in the Christian community and other communities, and working with the city council? Has there been a language difference or a problem with being able to communicate with each other? If so, or if not, if you can share that with us, we appreciate it.
No, there has not been a problem in terms of what we have been working, because wholesomeness is a language, so to speak, if we tune into it, to speak wholesomeness, to speak a word directed to the right. Allah says in the Quran, let there emerge from you a community of people who invite to what is best, command what is highly known to be right, and forbid that which is unknown to be highly recognized as being right. So when you make that the emphasis, that's international, that is intercultural, that's interracial. The word for upright, in this case, ma'ruf, comes from the same root as Mount Arafat, Ara. It's the height. And we were just saying in a khutbah the other day, you cannot hide a mountain.
That's right.
It's
Come on,
so
brother, you man.
It's so high level that people in Asia know what a mountain is. People in Africa know what a mountain is. Everybody knows what a mountain is. It's not debatable. It's just openly recognizable. So you can't lie on the Los Angeles Lakers and say that they're a volleyball team.
That's
because
right.
It's openly known that they're a basketball team.
You can't
sell that misconception because it's just too openly known. So when we are writing our cultural statements and feeding them to the city council, feeding them to the mayor's office, asking them to put this into the wording of their declaration, we're talking wholesome concepts, and there's no problem.
And, Brother Imam, wouldn't it be safe to say, you know, something our beloved leader and teacher gave to us, he said that if you have anything worth saying, and this is just veggie backing or camel backing on what you just said, Imam Muhammad said if you have anything worth saying, you should put it in a universal language. And also in doing that, it should have the same common interest and concern that all right-minded people would have regardless whether they're Muslim or not Muslim, and speaking something directly to the right that will be appealing to all people that are right-minded people and that would be good and healthy for the whole of humanity.
Exactly. That's the same understanding that we're operating with, and I was
same
not aware of that,
yes.
of that Smith, but I must have heard it subconsciously.
Well, you know what? I mean, you're right on target, and so I think that for those communities, those Muslim communities, if you are in a community that what you're hearing Imam Rashad Sharif is giving, this should be what is being followed in all of our messages in Islamic centers. And particularly those of us who are in the association of the leadership of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, this is what Imam Sharif is saying. This is what Imam Muhammad actually taught us. And they're getting results and their voice is being heard because they're following, you understand, what Imam Muhammad left. They're following it. They are involved in community engagement. They are collaborating with right-minded people. You see, it's making a difference. We just can't be on the outside. Speaking of a game, you can't be just up in a fan in the stand booing or saying that you don't like this and you don't like that, or you complaining about this and complaining about that. You know, what Imam Sharif is saying, they got a voice of choice, and they're letting their voice be heard. And they're not only speaking for Muslims, but they're speaking also for right-minded people, and they're joining in collaboration with them. This is al-Islam. This is something that was established by the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Muhammad said we should actually study the Mawa community, Medina Managua, the city of enlightenment, and what was established there. And then he said we should study it, but we also should learn from it in all too. So I want to thank you, Brother Imam, and I know that you do have an appointment and everything, but I want to thank you for accepting my invitation. And I want you to know that you always have an open door policy here on IWDM Radio, and in particular to the MGM Roundtable. And before you go, I would like to give you an opportunity, maybe say a couple, 2 or 3 minutes, for any closing remarks that you'd like to leave with our radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. And also that if there's a website or any other information how Muslim in Memphis can be contacted, a telephone number, any information that you'd like to leave in regards to that, and also any imparting words of wisdom that you'd like to leave with our radio listening audience. Imam Sharif.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It so happens that we're having to reconstruct our website. So it disappeared, and it's going to take some time to get it back up. But we are on Facebook. It's Masjid al-Mu'minun in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So it's not Islamic Center. It's Masjid al-Mu'minun.
Okay.
M-A-S-J-I-D. A-L-M-U-M-I-N-U-N. So you Google Masjid al-Mu'minun, or you go to Facebook and search within Facebook for Masjid al-Mu'minun. Some searches under my name will pull up some khutbas on Facebook, YouTube, etc. I might even be able to find Masjid al-Mu'minun on YouTube as well. Of course, you can always first look for Imam W. Dean Muhammad on YouTube. There are presentations from him easily accessible on YouTube. I would mention that I'm a school teacher by trade. I still teach school. I've been teaching 37 years, and on my board right now is the word purpose.
Oh, okay.
Just mentioning purpose. And it's broken down into two parts. The P-U-R part means through, and the P-O-S-E part means put. And if you have purpose, it will put you through situations that would stop you or turn you around if you did not have purpose. Also, perseverance, when you break it down, per, through, and severance is the times when things get severe. You cannot show perseverance, things don't get severe. But purpose will help you persevere through the times when things get severe.
Yes.
And so you can understand then how weak people get defeated.
Yes.
Because
I love it.
I love it,
Brother Imam. I think you might be like myself. You're a wordologist too, bro.
Indeed. Well, I teach language. I'm a foreign language teacher.
Okay.
What
language do you teach?
Spanish.
Teach Spanish. Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes. You know, Brother Imam, when you mention the word purpose as a wordologist, I do workshops and learning labs and, of course, a presence here in two learning labs here on IWDM Radio, and I have constructed an acronym for the word purpose. You know, Allah gives us as human beings a collective purpose, and then Allah gives us an individual purpose in terms of how it is that we should serve Him. Now, the collective purpose is people understanding the revealed plan of successful existence. People understanding the revealed plan. What revealed plan is the revealed plan that Allah has given to His human creation by way of instructions from the Quran and the life example of the Prophet for successful existence. You see, now the individual purpose to each is a goal that Allah has turned them to. So
yes.
Now purpose becomes a personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. Your goal would not be another person, would not be my goal per se. My goal would not be Rashid Salam's goal or somebody else's goal. But when we understand our purpose for being, it becomes a personal understanding of the revealed plan. What revealed plan? So when Allah created us, He has given an abundance in terms of what we call talents and skills and gifts and presents. And oftentimes we have to unwrap the gifts, the presents that we give. And as parents, we should know that Allah does that in terms of our children and helping them to unwrap the gifts and presents that He's given. So that they have a personal understanding of the revealed plan that God has for them for a successful existence on their part. So that's you know, my take in terms of the word tautologist on the word of purpose in terms of the acronym for collective purpose, as we find that in Surah 51, 56 of the Quran, and also for the individual purpose in turn where Allah tells us to each is a goal he has turned us to in that regard. Just wanted to share that with you, and I don't have a patent on it. Anybody can use it.
Yeah, you might have just written my March 17th khutbah.
I made a contribution to your book. Yes, sir, but thank you so much.
Before I go, I can't let you be the only acronym person, because I was just giving a presentation to my department on acronyms today.
Oh, really?
So in my class, there's a poster that says there's no such thing as a successful person without a spirit for success. S-P-I-R-I-T. Soul deep personal interest in reaching the intended target. S-P-I-R-I-T. Soul deep personal interest.
Say that again, brother, ma'am. Slow down a little bit, because I'm loving this. Once again, give the word and then give the acronym. I'm quite sure people are taking this.
All right. It's spirit is the word.
Mm-hmm.
This is for soul deep. Soul deep. Soul dash deep.
Mm-hmm.
P, personal. I, interest. R, reaching. Intended. T, target. A soul deep personal interest in reaching the intended target. It's like purpose.
Allahu Akbar. I love it, brother Imam.
I want to drop on you is that our community is Memphis. When I say our community, I mean you. All your Muslim listening audience, M-E-M-P-H-I-S. Okay. Muslim empowered to monitor and perfect his or her Islamic service. M-E-M-P-H-I-S.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I love it, brother Imam.
As a matter of fact, you don't even need to say Muslim. You say missions and empowered to monitor and perfect his or her Islamic service.
Service, yes. I love it. You and I are going to, inshallah, you know, I look at perhaps coming to Memphis, inshallah, sometime this year. We won't be able to make it, you know, for this Muslim in Memphis, but I look coming and maybe take you out to lunch and we can talk. But even before then, you have my number and I have your number, and you get some time and we can converse. But I want you to know that I'm honored that you came on the MGM Roundtable and sharing this information. This is historic information in regards to what Allah has blessed you all to establish there. We feel like your accomplishment becomes our accomplishment, and we should be proud of it. And this is what the MGM Roundtable is all about, the movers and shakers in our community. And I most certainly consider the Muslims in Memphis to be that. And so you have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio and at the MGM Roundtable. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. And I know you got another appointment, but we thank you for gracing us this evening. And may Allah continue to bless you and the community there. Be sure to extend the greetings to Imam Wali there and the Imam Shaheed, the resident Imam from Mark Shaheed, and also from IWDM Radio. May Allah bless you this year.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, there you have it, the radio listening audience. This completes the the production tonight on the MGM Roundtable, as we had a very distinguished esteemed, the Imam Emeritus there at Masjid Al-Mu'minun. So that's Masjid Al-Mu'minun there in Memphis, Tennessee. Imam Rashad Sharif, longtime resident imam there, 27 years he was a resident imam, giving us a very, very thorough history on how Muslim in Memphis in March actually began and what you can expect this year, as it would be this weekend, starting with Salat al-Jumu'ah. Our own imam, Wali Fakan, he will be the khatib, and he also will be doing the ta'lim there. So you might want, if you can get there, I'm quite sure you will enjoy everything that they have scheduled. I know the times that I've gone there, I've enjoyed them immensely. I love the spirit of the Muslims in Memphis. So with that being said, we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid. However, I will not be present tomorrow, but I think there will be a replay of last week's production. So those of you who might have missed it, for whatever reason, you don't want to miss it. There's a special announcement on my part, you know, in the second half of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, in terms of what will be happening on March 11th here in the STL. And also last week's topic was the significance, the importance, the benefit of the Islamic marriage contract. So those of you who don't have that information, there's a lot of very substantive information in that learning lab. So please, you know, you can have Rashid Salam. He can send it to you or what? Or you can go into the archives and we'll let Rashid give that information before we sign off. So that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern, it's 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time right here on IWDM Radio. And I want to just say that when we return, we're going to be returning back to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We're going to start the series on selling the seven C's. Yes, selling the seven C's from courtship to partnership. You don't want to miss that series. It's going to be an in-depth series, a lot of great information. So stay tuned to IWDM Radio. Friday is Salat al-Jumu'ah Day, a Muslim worldwide. Those who immobilize and can't get out and about, you can come back with Imam Mikhail Sayer. It's each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production happens each and every Sunday afternoon, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer, and it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words make people, so you want to tune in for his show. We always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And the beginning of the week, we have a new host, and he's right close to a month. I think his next presentation will have been with IWDM Radio for a month. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, and he hosts a show called ABC. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. It happens each and every Monday evening, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central, and it's 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam-based conversation. Please tune in, listen in, get involved in Al-Islam-based conversation, and bring a family member, a friend, a community member. If you tune in and listen, let's give the brothers some support here on IWDM Radio. That's each and every Monday. And then Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam with his off-returning guest, instructor Abdul Shahid, on the science of your health and you learning lab. This is a learning lab that you definitely need to have your pen and your pad, open mind, open heart. Take good notes. They invite you to ask questions. And this happens each and every Tuesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Science of Your Health and You, Learning Lab, with our distinguished, esteemed host, who also is our special guest facilitator each and every Wednesday. On Tuesday, you can tune in for that. So please do make note of that. And Wednesday, this is where we are right now. It is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that happens each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's always followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, who is the producer of that particular production. As I always like to invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And you just heard Imam Rashad Sharif tonight. Wanted to say a special note that the MGM Roundtable during the month of Ramadan will be moved to Saturday, inshallah. Next week, we will have an update on those shows that will have special times, especially the ones that are broadcast in the evening. We still will have a presence here on IWDM Radio, but we will move the time up so there won't be a conflict with you in terms of breaking your fast, the Salat to Maghrib, and the iftars with your family and friends and community. The programming will be over by that time. So look to IWDM Radio for update on all the productions, and there's some special productions that can and will be coming up during the month or before the month of Ramadan, and then look for additional programming that will be coming after the month on Ramadan. So with that being said, we also want to remind you to keep your subscription, which is a prescription of the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. If you have the wherewithal, remember a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And so I want to just say to you, until next time, this is for you. Lord, may God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. Well, thank you so much. And there will never be any peace until God is at the conference table. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.